Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, August 28th, 240th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor and guy who knows a lot about himself, Ryan Sundberg.
Very perceptive.
That's because you have your badge on, dude. Oh, how you doing?
Good. How about you? Do you have a good weekend?
Yeah, made it through. But I've not been as anxiously awaiting the opening of school as perhaps the Sundberg family has been.
Yeah, my wife spent the whole last week getting her classroom ready. She's the kindergarten teacher at Philbrook School. And then my daughter Sophie she jumped right out of bed on the first day of school because she was so excited to go.
Is she going with mom or to another school?
No, they go together. Okay. To Philbrook. So she's a third grader this year, and she takes after her mother because I never jumped out of bed to go to school.
Fell out a couple times, I bet you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Pushed out. Pulled out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By my hair.
Yeah. Well, this afternoon we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about water. Water flows. We've heard a fair amount about the Mad River and some of the potentials. And obviously, if you have any history in the area, you know about the Eel River. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Trinity as a specific watershed. So we'll test your knowledge. Your being their knowledge, not your knowledge, because you know everything about the river, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you did. We'll find out about that as well when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. All right, this one works. This is kind of a school little twist to it. Comes from Kingsley Amis. Quote, "It's no wonder that people are so horrible when they start life as children."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and apropos too, huh?
Yeah, you always come up with good ones whenever I'm here.
There's another one that was kind of cool. I don't recognize the fellow's name. I was toilet trained at gunpoint. That tend to get your attention as well. So how did August treat you guys? I know you didn't have as many meetings and maybe a little bit of a breather. Was it a breather month?
I don't know about a breather month, but I definitely got a breather week. We had a family reunion up in Sun River, Oregon. So all my relatives from Washington, Idaho, and then California.
This was before the fires or during the fires?
Before the fires, okay. Yeah. Well, no, it was kind of during, because it was smoky on the way there when we were driving there. There was smoke pretty thick going through Crater Lake and all that.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, though, it wasn't very smoky, but it's gotten worse here than it is over there. So,
yeah, it's interesting, the kind of the air flows. Yeah, I've not been in an airplane the last couple of weeks to get up. And I can remember when it was the Biscuit Fire in Oregon and flying out because it was in September and going somewhere, obviously very, very important, and because I was going.
Hey, did they name...
Didn't mean to lose you on that one.
No, did they name fires the same way they name hurricanes or something? How do they get the names for those? Do you know?
I think it's a geographic reference.
To something that's close by?
Yeah, okay. Or maybe the shape, the initial shape or something like that. No, they don't name them after...
So the famous biscuits in Oregon, is it?
I think it was something akin to that, yeah. And the Salmon Creek Fire?
Okay, I could follow that one.
Yeah, good. Well, I didn't want to lose you on that one. But the airflow, and how, it's been going around Curry County.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been nailing Crescent City and then 199, as you alluded to, and then shooting out towards Crater. It's interesting how all that stuff flows, because we never think about that.
No, and you ever see the maps that have the smoke patterns on them? And it's just the amount of how many miles those things can go and drop ash, hundreds of miles.
We saw Mount Hood last week when we were out of town. And 300-mile ash plume.
Mm-hmm.
But only 2 miles in one direction, so it speaks well for being upwind of any of these events.
Last week, I was talking with some friends, and up in Willow Creek, they got up in the morning, and it looked like snow had fallen. It was so much ash. And then we had some people come in from Cutton area, and they said that there was a little thin layer of ash on their car. And it's just amazing how far that stuff can carry and how fast.
Well, if your car isn't brown, if it's black or white, that kind of shows up a little bit too. Just adding all the insight I possibly can. Let's talk a little bit about water, because that's what you were prepared for, not ash.
I brought that stuff for you.
Oh, thanks. Poundage by the pound. When most of the water discussion is in our area, I think most folks are thinking either the MAD, because of everybody pulls the water out, or a lot of pull out of there, or the Eel, because of the diversion through the Russian River. We don't, for whatever reason, I guess, and more lately, the Klamath out of Klamath County, with the stuff that Jill and everybody's been working on up there. Trinity kind of seems to be forgotten, unless you think about historical, go back to the 60s. That was the discussion with the diversions and Whiskey Town and all those types of things. Do you sense that people really understand how much water we really have in our area and how much of a resource, a valuable resource, it is?
That's a good question. I think people probably, if you ask them, they'd say, oh yeah, I know. But most people really think deeply about it and realize how important it is and how much of it's the new gold, basically. And told people that it's the fight that's here now, and it's the fight that's not going away. It's gonna, there's more and more droughts happen, and
there's more bodies wanting
more
water.
Yeah. The weather changes, all the issues that we're having, it's more and more valuable. And it's going to, the last issue with the Trinity River, to have those farm communities sue the federal government to release 100,000 acre feet of water out of somewhere around 2 million acre feet lake. For them to sue over that and possibly have a massive fish kill and not care is absolutely scary and amazing that they could even go there.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, considering some of the historical uses of the water, and then looking at today, we've got these things called lakes, dams, diversions. Go back 150 years ago, none of that stuff was around. Mm-hmm. Okay. This time of the year, was there anything really to be concerned about? Because was there enough water in the rivers to have the fish until we start getting the late season rains.
Well, I think the Wild River, yeah, I mean, it was sustainable for what they had. And, you know, we read stories about being able to walk across the river on fish. And so whatever that Wild River was,
you believe those tales, huh?
I've seen pictures.
The buckboards in the river, in the eel? Or have you seen it on the Trinity?
Yeah, I've seen on the Trinity and the Klamath. I've seen pictures and just solid fish.
I know what would happen if you stepped on a fish. I know what would happen.
What?
You're not going too far. You're going down.
Probably, yeah. I actually saw some video the other day with it was actually from Pat Higgins. He had showed me a video, and he did some diving in the Eel River, and there were some large holes there. And you would not believe the amount of fish that's in there. It was just like a solid wall.
The sucker fish?
No,
or
salmon.
Real fish?
Real fish. It was a solid walls of salmon. It was amazing. And so there's a lot of fish right now. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of fish that are getting ready to go up the river. So
it's interesting for me to hear the discussions about the water and the diversion, who is and who hasn't, and how much and why not, and all that. And consider the diversion on the eel, and that now the argument about the Russian River is that it is a fully established river watershed instead of the seasonal creek because of the diversion that happened, 100 and something years ago. And they're now claiming the same arguments that the Klamath folks have been and the Mad River folks have been and everybody else has been, that this is a natural, we've got the ecosystems you can't take from, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with claiming that as long as you don't sacrifice where it came from. You know, so I think wherever the water comes from is where what should take precedence. You know, so sucking all the water out of one of the rivers to feed something else is just a little goofy to me.
I know this hasn't been your baby that much, but are there precedents for what water is worth across the country? I mean, right now, you know, the flooding and stuff on the other side of the country, it's probably not worth too much money right now. Here we seem to have the battles, but at other times it certainly has been inverted. What is a fair contract for water? Is there any established level, or when we talk about diversions, what is fair, or is everything, it seems like it's on a case-by-case basis?
Well, I know that the Westlands Water District and the Delta Mendota one that sued, they get water for relatively pretty cheap from there, and then they resell it, and then I think with the Farm Bill and those kinds of things, they can they make massive amounts of money on that water. And I don't know what the price is that they sell it for per acre foot, but I wish I could remember. Jimmy Smith was telling me about it before he left, and he was, you know, it was surprising to me how that whole system worked. You know, they take water out of the Trinity River, get it for cheap, sell it for expensive, and then how much money goes back into the Trinity or the Trinity area, you know, that where the source comes from.
A healthy profit?
That very healthy profit, and nothing goes back. You know, the Trinity County Board of Supervisors is struggling with their budget all the time, and there's this, you know, this water that comes out of their lake and gets, you know, sold for a massive profit, and they don't see any of that benefit.
It's an area, I almost said fluid area, but I won't. An area of discussion as things are changing. Do you sense that there's any structural, I want to say firmness around water discussions, or as it you got the Klamath, like you alluded to. We've got the eel. The Mad River, we're trying to find somebody who's a customer to take advantage of it. The delivery costs are another thing. It just seems like all these things are so variable, and yet in the long run, in almost every situation, there's no reimbursement for the source of the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's water until it comes time to pay up, and then it's something that doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, they're starting conversations around trying to get some money back to where the water comes from, but you know, there's really big interests, you know, with top politicians in the state and federal government, and a lot of money involved. And these, you know, these water districts have become very, very powerful, and are, you know, have a lot of influence. And so I think that's how we haven't seen very much movement there, is it's, you know, they've got a really good deal and they're going to fight hard to keep it.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. This afternoon we're spending a little bit of time talking about water and kind of, I guess, the current condition of our condition. It would seem to me, Ryan, that as you're looking at water and the value of this resource, that there's an industry here. I don't know what it is, how it is, but if we've got the current diversion folks taking money, we've got the state looking at taking the resource because it's worth that kind of money. Mm-hmm. We've got farmers doing what farmers do, you know, battling for themselves, okay? Fishermen for fishermen and the sports and the Indians. I mean, everybody's understands that there is a value to this. Why aren't we able to capitalize on this thing and maybe jumpstart this area and get rid of the drug culture and replace it with a water culture?
Yeah, it's. I know people are looking at it, you know, especially with the Mad River with, I don't know, was it in 2020-something is when they have
2028, I think.
28, okay. Yeah. They have to, that's when that contract comes up. So they have to figure out something to do with that water. And I know they've, you know, they've had public meetings on it and all kinds of good ideas have come out of that, you know. And one of the things that I remember with our general plan, we just did, you know, we didn't block.
Oh, you say it as if it's completed.
Well, we've completed portions of it, but one of the decisions we had to make was, you know, what about the bagged water? Should we nix that right now, or should we leave it wide open? And we just, you know, we left it open, so keep everything on the table. You know, they have aquaculture to, I think, a lake somewhere, and you know, the who knows what's going to happen with the Samoa Peninsula with aquaculture there. You know, that'd be great to try and get more of that water used, and you know, because if we don't use it, I think someone will take it. It's you know, that's I guarantee it's on someone's radar to try and figure out a way to get that water from us.
And once taken, gone forever.
I don't see how you're going to get
it
back.
Or until the next major earthquake.
Yeah.
Really major earthquake. Mm-hmm. So as we're seeing this, I'm wondering, of course, this is, you know, lightning strike, but I wonder if we've been kidding ourselves for the last little bit as we're trying to save this industry or grow this industry or make this arena prosper this or not, that maybe it's water. Maybe it's just water, and we got to figure out a delivery system of the water. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's it. Yeah. Throw some dollars on it. Let us, you know, they talk about value added. Mm-hmm. Well, what in the world could be more value added than something that we have already at no charge that we can put a value on, get it out of here, and make some money on?
I mean, well, it's you know, in a capitalist society, it's supply and demand. And
well, in theory, we're still there.
We have something everybody wants, and we have control over it right now. It definitely should be one of the top things we're looking at to figure out how to capitalize on it, because you know, you can't make it anywhere else. Or I guess you can have desalination and that kind of thing. But whether we bag it and ship it or put a pipeline in, or, you know, I know that people are looking at this stuff already. I've talked to people about it. And, I definitely would support them in trying to figure out a way to make more money off of that.
Maybe we need a couple of water-based products sold by the pint. Over a couple hours, we could probably figure something out, huh? Always need to have that flavoring agent in there for me.
Yeah.
I just regular plain water to me is boring.
But it sells.
Yeah, by the case, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. I never thought growing up that anybody, you know, what are you talking about? You got a hose?
Well,
you got your faucet.
Do you remember when bottled water first came out?
Yeah, Perrier, like, right?
Well, no, but when it first started becoming more commercialized for normal people. And
well, I don't know. I haven't gotten into the normal people part of the story yet.
Yeah. But I remember people that I knew just going, what in the world? That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard, bottling water. What are they going to bottle canned air next, you know? Which probably will happen eventually. But now it's just so commonplace. And they've done a good job at marketing it.
Yeah, you think? Mm-hmm. Talking about an industry from nothing. So we have all these things that are out there. And I know we've got a county economic development department. Have they considered doing anything? Is that a role that they would do? Or are they supposed to get out of the way and let the private sector put things together and kind of help facilitate when needed? How does that
the
coordination?
Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District is who manages the Mad River.
Right.
And they're the ones who've put on the forums to figure out what to do. And they're the ones ultimately responsible for what.
But if we got a contract for the big pipe out on the spit.
Yeah, well.
Okay, great. We got a contract. Now what?
Well, I know that the economic development team is working with them, and they're not working separate. But that'd be a good question to ask to find out how deep they are into that, because I don't know. But
how deep they are into the fluid situation?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the water is one thing that, you know, we kind of deal with it, we play with it. It's going to be a long-term situation. I don't think there's going to be a project in the next 2 or 3 months, because I don't think contracts can be probably written in that length of time. But you did have the opportunity to spend a little bit of time down at the fair.
Did
you get a sense? One, did anybody pay attention to you? But more importantly, did you get a sense of what the community was feeling? Was there really dialogue shared, or was it more of an opportunity to just kind of hang out, slap backs, have some grins and giggles, and enjoy the day?
It was kind of both. It was pretty mellow, but it was nice to hear from people. I actually shared this with some friends up in Hoopa that. Most of the comments, it was right during when the judge decided to remove the temporary restraining order, and there was a article in the paper that morning, and that was the same day that I went to the fair.
Well, that was your day.
Host, yeah. So people, I had probably at least 10 people come up to me and thank me for fighting for the water, and the Humboldt County was doing the right thing. And so I did get to talk to people a little bit about that, and that was nice. And a couple other little things that came up. I know one lady had I guess they dumped some dirt in with the asphalt chunks in it on the side of the road somewhere over by Lolita, and I got her in touch with Supervisor Bone, and he went over and fixed it for her. So it was It was fun. Then I ran over the horse races and lost some money over
there.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a fun time. I was only there for about 4 hours or so, but I had a good time.
Do you guys get the opportunity to do that kind of an outreach in a casual situation? Yeah, the fundraising tour. Okay, fine. You know, when you're in your district, okay, you probably see the same 10 or 15 people regularly at most of the events. But just to get a different cross-section of the community?
No, I mean, I see people out and about, you know, but I don't, nothing structured like that. That was kind of new to have. And actually, I think it was a good idea on their part to come and host the Friendship Square for the day and get every supervisor there. And I haven't talked to the other supervisors about how it went with them, but I had a pretty good experience. It was fun. And they were really appreciative that we were there and treated us really well, too.
Well, if they let you go throw your money at the horses, I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah.
In that kind of a situation, what are your expectations? You just hope to be able to talk to a couple of folks and
yeah, answer questions and just let them get to know you and, you know, pretty mellow. It was nice.
And Pony Express days?
What about it?
Everybody's all tightly wound and they don't want to talk to you? Is that?
No, the Pony Express days is always a good time too. We go and cruise around and I usually have Kim and Sophie with me and everyone's really nice. And yeah, most of the time it's funny when you go to those kinds of events or I think people think you're there for the event and or Pony Express, you're there to, you know, to celebrate Pony Express days, and so they don't talk shop with you as much. I think they kind of hold back a little bit.
Really? Mm-hmm. You're saying you get respect?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. You know, we can throw a couple more minutes on this and blow that one out of the water.
Probably feel bad for you than respect.
A little sorrow. Okay.
Yeah, that's pity.
Maybe you need a cut out of Sophie to take with you all the time, huh?
I think that would help.
Yeah. Go to the board meeting. Put her picture right up on the front there.
Don't make this one cry.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great fun.
Put the alligator tear next to it.
Yeah. Or you get one of those crying dolls.
Yeah, hit the button.
Behind? Yeah, you just kind of.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you're giving me all kinds of ideas.
You know, anything I do to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the goal. What is the issue that's out there that you're hoping to wrestle down? Obviously, the general plan. Okay. But is there anything else that's out there in the next little bit before the seasons really turn that you guys are hoping to take care of?
From the board level or McKinleyville?
Take your pick.
Yeah. Let's see here. You know, getting these fires out is going to be huge. And everything else, you know, the general plan's eating up a lot of time. And, I mean, that is one of my main priorities is to try and get that done. And we're moving right along. You know, we had a Friday meeting followed up with a Monday meeting, and we have another one on the 23rd. So I would really, really like to get that done by the end of my first term. You know, that's one of the things that we talked about a lot during the election. And for different reasons, you know, it's taking a little longer than I thought, but I also think that we can get it done by the end of this term.
Thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me.
It wasn't too painful. Get you back in the routine of it after that week off. We've been Talking Shop with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love, and see you tomorrow.